Okay, so I'll give a few words about the small device C compiler, starting with a quick introduction what it is, recent progress, and our plans for the near future. So this is a standard C compiler that supports all the relevant C standards from ancient NVC 89, also called ISO C90, to the current ISO C23 standard, with a few gaps, of course, here and there, but in general, nearly everything is there. And I'd say everything relevant for the small devices is there. It can be a freestanding implementation. That's what you'll typically use. It also could be part of a hosted implementation. There are supporting tools included, assembler, linker, and simulators for the architectures we target. It works on many host systems, so you are typical, let's say, if you're using the Hurd or a new Linux or whatever, it will work. And we target a lot of 8-bit architectures and have unusual optimizations that make sense for these architectures that you won't find in LLVM or GCC. We just had a release a few days ago. Well, we usually do yearly releases, and they're often at the beginning of the year. The user base consists basically of two groups: embedded developers who use it for small 8-bit embedded systems, and retro computing and retro gaming people who use it well for older 8-bit systems. And it's also often used by our downstream projects such as Z88DK, the Game Boy Development Kit, or DevKit SMS. But my personal background, how I got into it, is also that I started a long time ago writing games for the ColecoVision video game system, then got into the compiler, later also did a little bit of games for Sega 8-bit systems. And since it was mentioned in the previous talk, LLVM also has a C backend. It's a bit outside the main project, but it's maintained by other people, and I know of people who have, for example, actually used Rust on the Game Boy by using LLVM Rust frontend, compiled to C backend, and feed the resulting C code into SDCC and then run that on a Game Boy. Okay, these are the architectures we support. The first point are mostly architectures relevant today to embedded systems. So depending on what you're doing, some of these are also older. The 6502 and its derivatives are also supported. That's a more recent port that sure many of you are interested in, but it's not something I've personally worked on much. However, we also have this huge family of Z80-related devices, the original Z80, the variant used in the ZX Spectrum Next, the Z180, the EZ80, the TLCS90, it's a relatively exotic one, Toshiba relatively old. The SM83 is the CPU used in the Game Boy. Then there's the Rabbids, which are still in relevant use for embedded systems like EZ80, but some of them are also quite old, and the ASCII Corporation 8RR800 used in some, I think, Japanese older systems. Okay, so let's introduce a project. It's hosted at SourceForge since a long time ago, and it's still there. We have our ticket systems there. We have mailing lists. We have a repository, we have a wiki for documentation. For nightly regression testing, we have our own compile farm that's basically distributed among the SDCC developers. So every night, the current version gets downloaded from the repository, gets compiled on a host system, and then compiles a large number of small test programs and executes them on a simulator, and we check that, well, they run, they give the correct result. Or in some cases, we check that, well, they don't compile and give the correct error message as a line where we want it. It's mostly a volunteer project, but it has actually received some external support. That comes mostly from the embedded application side. So the Prototype Fund and LLNet have actually given monetary support for certain features, such as improving standard compliance. Hardware vendors usually, if the supporters give us hardware or give us some extra documentation. And the DFG, that's a bit special because they're a research organization, a German one. So if in compiler research you have an idea for a relevant algorithm, you probably want to do a reference implementation for publishing, well, they don't care if it's in, I mean, I've worked at a university, I've done compiler research, and if a reference implementation is in the Z80 backend of SDCC, it's still good enough, so technically you can get, even for retro computing relevant things, get funding that way. Okay, so what's happened recently? Well, struct union parameters and return types is something that was for a long time the main missing standard feature. We did that a few years ago. Then, of course, another big improvement was the recent ISOC 23 standard that we now support most of it. And a lot of it is relevant, particularly to such small devices, such as the bit precise integer types or bit fields of bit precise integer types. They really help a lot with saving a few bits in your precious data memory. For example, a ColecoVision has 1 kilobyte of data memory, and if you want your game data structures in there, you often want to use bit fields. And with bit precise integer types and bit fields of bit precise integer types, a lot of that can be done even better than with the old plain bit fields that we had in previously. And we actually already had a few bits of the future C2Y standard that we will see ratified probably towards the end of this decade. Yeah, we have, the 7 shouldn't be there. This is, of course, the 6005 CO2 and the R100 port, which is a Z80 derivative, but also a subset of the instruction set of R800 is a subset of the Z280 instruction set. So if you happen to want to target the Z280, you can use the R800 port and get some more efficient code, in particular for multiplications. Yeah, we also improved our optimizations. For example, bit rotations are a reasonably common pattern in C code. Yeah, you have shift left, shift right, so that the sum of the two shifts amounts is the size of the thing that you're shifting, and then people either use a binary or the ATSE 2 results when they want to rotate stuff. So we have some optimizations to recognize that, because many hardware has optimizations for that. For example, this Z80N that they use in the ZX spectrum next. The generalized constant propagation, where we now can propagate information about the possible values of the variable throughout the program much better. So if for some reason it's clear from the code that, let's say, the lower 8 bits of some variable are always 0, we can use that information better than we were able before. And we've also changed the calling conventions, and of course upsetting everyone in the process, because they had to adapt their handwritten assembler code, but still, historically we've passed a lot of things just on the stack, and we're making better use of register parameters now to improve efficiency. So how does this reflect in code size? I've just put up a few small graphs how code size developed over the releases. So with, I've used the Z80s, and that's probably what many of you are interested in. And we see a general trend of code size going down over time. I mean, this is about 10 years of SDCC development. Drystone, a classic integer benchmark with a strong focus on string C, standard library string operations, which is also the main criticism people put against it. Whetstone, technically a floating point benchmark, and that might not, if you look at it like that, it's not interesting, but these architectures typically don't have hardware floating point. And floating point is implemented by doing a lot of bit shifting, bitwise OR, and so on. So exactly the stuff that everyone's doing on those small architectures. So a floating point benchmark is actually a reasonably good representation of what many people are doing, even if they're not doing floating point. And here we see a similar situation for CoreMark. CoreMark is a benchmark introduced by people criticizing Tristone for being too biased, and they came up with something even more biased. For the code size, like I'm using here, it's okay, but in the end, the benchmark does matrix multiplications in its inner loop, and if you are doing matrix multiplications, somewhere on these small architectures, then the matrix multiplication in the end is all that matters for the speed that you get. But for the code size, what I'm using it here, it's kind of okay. Okay, so that's what happened so far. Let's see what we want to do with SDCC, and we hope we can do. We'll see. Okay, so in standard compliance, we want to complete the standard support, mostly from C99 to C23. We are still missing compound literals. Our attribute support is still incomplete. Our support for atomics is incomplete, and we don't really support double and long double. Basically, if you use them, you get a warning saying that, well, it's essentially a float in the background what you're getting. And of course, more of the C2Y support, even though it's at this point, of course, still very unclear what C2Y will look like. So we will introduce additional parts to better support the rabbits. As I mentioned before, it's a Z80 inspired architecture of microcontrollers. For the rabbits and the Z80, we will introduce far pointers, because those architectures are all still, like the Z80, essentially 16-bit architectures, but they have some mechanisms to access data beyond 16 bits without going through explicit bank switching, but rather you have some special instructions that allow you to, okay, here it's a 24-bit address rather than a 16-bit address, still a lot less efficient than you operating within your 16-bit address space, but a bit more efficient than bank switching, so we are introducing a named address space to do that. And also for the Z80-related targets, we want to introduce pointers into the I.O. address space, because it's on the Z80, it's actually possible. I mean, for the Game Boy, this is of course not relevant, because their I.O. is mapped into the normal address space, and you can just use normal pointers. You want volatile qualified targets there if you're doing I.O., but for a normal Z80, those who programmed an assembler know there are special I.O. instructions. But its address can be used from a register, so it's possible to implement this as pointers. And we also want to introduce and improve optimizations, because, of course, on those small devices, you're constrained in terms of memory, both program memory and data memory. Something users have been asking for a long time is the link time elimination of unused objects and functions. For some reason, some users love to put functions into their C source code that they don't actually use and then expect us to optimize them out. And currently, we can only do that if it's in a library. So unused library functions, okay, that works. But normal object files are treated differently. Everything in the normal object files end up in the final binary. So we hope we'll get to that to be able to optimize that too. Then spilled local variables into non-stack memory. That's not relevant to the Z80, because the Z80 has reasonably efficient stack access. But for the 6502, for example, SDCC by default puts local variables at fixed addresses, which means functions are non-reentrant by default, unless you tell the compiler you want it to be reentrant. That's not standard compliant, but stack access is less efficient on those architectures, so most people prefer efficient access rather than reentrancy. And currently, these local variables are not allocated as memory efficiently as we are doing it on the stack. And for the Z80-related targets, we also want to handle global variables better, because a lot of the work went into dealing with local variables, register allocation, the on-stack stuff. While the global variant also has a very rough heuristic, basically, okay, can we point IY to it? Well, yes, then let's do that. Well, if not, then we point HL to it, and so on. But in reality, it would often be efficient to choose, depending on the operand type and depending on available registers and so on, to use IY or HL or even direct addressing modes in the Z80. Typically, direct addressing modes will be faster for if it's actually just an 8-bit operand. And actually, that's the end of my talk today, and maybe we even have time for questions. Don't know. Part and part. There was an attempt to make an 8080 port, but I think it never got finished. And then, of course, when you have the Z80 port, it's usually easier to support an extension of the Z80 because, well, you just say, okay, in these special cases, I'm using the additional instructions, and you get correct code anyway, even when the new ones are not used yet, while leaving out is harder. In that sense, the Game Boy, which is a restricted Z80 variant, because it doesn't have the index registers of the Z80 and all the reduced instruction set, was definitely harder to add support for than those extensions of the Z80.
How easy is it to port this to a completely new architecture?
Excuse me?
How easy it is to port to a completely new architecture?
How easy it is to a completely new architecture? Well, to a large degree, I'd say that depends on the architecture. Now, basically, to port, you need to, if it's a completely new one, not related to an existing one, you need to write your code generation stage. And you probably also want people optimizer rules. Sure, that those are optional, but there's an optimization people will expect, especially in people who are experienced with assembly programming. And of course, there are certain rough rules depending on the architecture if it makes more sense to make an SDCC or LLVM versus GCC backend.
Thank you.